Hello and welcome back to Bases Loaded. I am your host, Eric Ellefson. And on this week's episode, we'll be recapping the MLB Awards season. As before we went off, or I think it was a little bit after I finished recording last week, they announced the NL and AL MVP award winners. They also did Silver Sluggers. They did all MLB first and second team. And I think that's it. Because they did like Gold Glove winners. Like that was like shortly, I think, after the World Series was over. And then I think they also did like some Comeback Player of the Year awards. Relief Pitcher of the Year. That's Mariano Rivera AL Reliever of the Year and Trevor Hoffman NL Reliever of the Year. I believe is like their official names and stuff like that. So we'll get that. Let me just find MLB. Let's see, 2025 all. If I can type, that would help. All. Team MLB. That should get me it. So first team, all MLB. That's pretty much regardless of lead. Like, there's no all MLB first team for the National League. I mean, so first team is Cal Raleigh of the Mariners, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at first, Ketel Marte at second, Jose Ramirez at third, Bobby Witt Jr. at short, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Julio Rodriguez in the outfield. Shohei Ohtani is the DH. And then starting pitchers, we have Paul Skenes, Turret Stubel, Garrett Crochet, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and Max Fried. And then relief pitchers, we have Chapman, Aroldis Chapman, and Johan Duran. Is it going to be the second team? I'm going to probably have to type that in separately, because why wouldn't we? Second team. Let's see. Bryce Terrain, Junior Caminero, Will Smith, catcher. That was second base, third base catcher. Outfield is Cody Bellinger, Corbin Carroll, and Pete Armstrong. Pitchers, Hunter Brown, Zach Wheeler, Freddy Peralta, and then Nick Cruz as an all-rookie. Second team. Yeah, Nick Hurts is the rookie. He also won Rookie of the Year, which I think we already discussed. I don't really disagree with any of those. Let's see. Let's just type MLB, otherwise I'm literally getting like a bunch of like Silver Colorado or Trots and stuff like that, and that's not even close to MLB Horror. Let's see. Just go to MLB.com. I don't know why it doesn't pull it up first. American League. Why are we going? First base is Nick Kurtz of the Athletics. Jazz Chisholm Jr. at second base. Jose Ramirez at third. Bobby Witt Jr. from the Royals at short. Outfield is Aaron Judge. Byron Buxton and Riley Green. Catcher is Cal Raleigh. Designated hitter is George Springer. And then utility player is Zach McKinstry. And then team of the year, Yankees. I didn't know they did a team of the year. I know they did one for... I know there's one for Gold Glove, I believe, that they did. So nationally, Pete Alonso at first, Ketel Marte at second, Manny Machado at third, Geraldo Perdomo from the Diamondbacks at short, outfielders Juan Soto, Corbin Carroll, Kyle Tucker. Catcher is Hunter Goodman of the Rockies. Designated hitter Shohei Ohtani. Utility player Alex Burleson from the Cardinals. And then team is the Dodgers. Not really surprising at any of these, honestly. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, if you're all MLB or second team, you know, there's probably a good chance that you won a Gold Glove or a Silver Slugger as well. Not always necessarily the case. Not always the case, but it's up there. So then... we're pretty much, I mean, we have free agency that is like, you know, official. I think it started last Thursday, was like the first kind of official date. We had Josh, I don't think this happened while I was on air. I think it was like Friday or Saturday. But Josh Naylor re-signed with the Mariners on a 5-year deal. I don't know if I can I think it was like $175 million. I'm this free agent. Yeah, all those. I mean, it's like discussions. So there isn't really... yeah, I know they were posted. Then we had, like, qualifying offers. Accepted. Maybe I'm not gonna be able to find it. But I'm pretty sure it was like $175 million. So for 5 years, 175 divided by 5. It's $35 million a year. I don't know how much that is guaranteed. I don't think really MLB does a lot of deals that are like guaranteed money. I know that's like an NFL thing a lot. I think NBA does it, maybe hockey, but I don't think baseball is a lot of times you see guaranteed money. There might be some, but yeah. Because, I mean, last Thursday, so we're a week into free agency, nothing really happens that's, like, too crazy until after Thanksgiving up until... I mean, usually mid-December, because we have GM. I think they already had, like, I think it was last weekend. They did, like, the GM meetings where all 30 teams kind of had, I don't know if that's different from, like, the winter meetings, because that used to be a big thing, like, around 10 years, because that's when you'd have some kind of free agency signings, some trades would get down, would take place in that winter meeting time frame, but it's not really, it happens sometimes, but I don't think it's as big as it was in the past. So, you know, it's kind of something to look at. There's pretty much the, because there was like qualifying offers, like I said, four players accepted, which I guess was like a record, because they usually don't accept the qualifying offer, because, you know, they're trying to test free agency, and seeing if what they can do in free agency. I don't know if there, it might have been the deadline also to accept the qualifying offer, and then they kind of officially become free agents after that. So, it was like Brandon Woodruff of the Brewers, Shota Imanaga of the Cubs, Gleyber Torres of the Yankees, and I don't remember the other one. I don't know how many like qualifying offers were made to begin with. So yeah, that's kind of some first free agency kind of off-season stuff. We did have like a trade. I think it was Baltimore Orioles and then the Los Angeles Angels. The Angels traded Tyler Ward to the Orioles, who then traded Grayson Rodriguez to them, or back to LA, who was like one of their top pitching prospects. So that's kind of, I mean, a pretty standard one-for-one trade right there. Nothing too crazy. Adam, Baltimore kind of had a down year, so I just trying to add some bats, though I don't know if they really have, you know, much pitching. I know they had Corbin Burns, but that was for like last year. Like they traded him before last year, the 2024 season, and then he signed with, I think it was Arizona, prior to this season. So that's a little surprising that they would trade like a top pitching prospect, but you know, that's why I'm not an MLB or any sports, you know, team executive, other than like a video game format. So, but we'll definitely keep, you know, an eye out for anything that happens free agency. I mean, like I said, yeah, we're probably not going to get anything crazy for, you know, weeks, if not maybe a month, less than a month-ish. Well, in a month, it's going to be almost Christmas, so maybe a couple of weeks, like 2-3 weeks, you might start seeing some stuff happen. So, you know, when it does, we'll talk about it and kind of where that goes. Because then, yeah, we'll have winter meetings where you'll have, I mean, there's the Rule 5 draft, but that's not like, like, if you haven't, if you played a certain amount of years, I think, and you haven't, you're not on like a 40-man roster, then I think you're eligible. I believe it's kind of the case. It's something along that line. So, you know, that wraps up that. And then football, we just had week 11, right? Yeah. So, like, it kicked off, yeah, last Thursday night. Patriots winning 27-14 over the Jets. The Packers pulling out a win against the Giants. Broncos beating the Chiefs 22-19. The Dolphins beat the Commanders 16-13 in overtime in the final international game of the season in Madrid. Steelers took care of the Bengals 34-12. Chargers handled, or the Jaguars handled the Chargers 35-6. Bills beat the Buccaneers 44-32. Bears beat the Vikings 19-17. Texans beat the Titans 16-13. Panthers beat the Falcons 30-27 in overtime. Rams beat the Seahawks 21-19. 49ers beat the Cardinals 41-22. Ravens beat the Browns 23-16, and then the Eagles beat the Lions 16-9, and that was the Sunday night football game. And then the Cowboys beat the Raiders 33-16 on Monday night football. So that puts us in standings. We'll do we always do conferences. It's how it goes. Division matters because then you'll at least get your first playoff game will be home. But you want that number one seed because then you get a bye. And then you'll get home field throughout the playoffs in your conference. For the AFC, we have Denver and New England are tied up at top with a record of 9-2. Looks like a half game lead for Denver as they have a conference record of 6-2. Compared to New England's 5-2. Then third, we have the Colts at 8-2. Pittsburgh at 6-4. So those are division leaders. And then rounding out the last three wild card spots are the Buffalo Bills, Los Angeles Chargers, Jacksonville Jaguars. And then just outside the playoff picture, on that board of the, trying to get in, is Houston, Kansas City, and Baltimore. They're all 500 at 5-5. Miami's 4-7, but maybe they're, that's a game and a half behind those three teams, so they're kind of a very slight chance. And then the NFC, we have Philly on top of the conference with a record of 8-2, with the Rams also 8-2. And then the Bears at 7-3, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 6-4, rounding out our division leaders. And then the wild card spots of Seattle at 7-3, Green Bay at 6-3-1. And then the Niners at 7-4 with the Lions and Carolina Panthers on the outside looking in. Detroit's one game back. Carolina, that looks like a game and a half back. They didn't tell me the... Oh, I already knew the playoff. Tonight's Bills Texans on Thursday Night Football on Prime. And then Sunday we have at noon, Colts at the Chiefs, Vikings Packers, Steelers Bears, Patriots Bengals, Jets Ravens, Seahawks Titans, and Giants Lions. Yes. And then later games at 3:05 is a real doozy of a game between the Browns and Raiders. We're both 8-2-8. Then that's at 3:05, so that's the earlier slate game afternoon. And then the other late afternoon games are the Falcons Saints. The Falcons being 3-7, the Saints 2-8 at 3:25. And then I think it's America's Game of the Week, yeah. On Fox is the Eagles at the Cowboys. Sunday Night Football is Buccaneers at Rams. And then we end Week 12 with Panthers 49ers. And then at that point, we are 2/3 of the way through the season. So I kind of have even more of a clear picture. Pressure's on for... I think they all play Chiefs. Texans play tonight. And then where are they? Ravens. They're all 5-5. Ravens against the Jets. They're 13.5-point favorites. They're at home. Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites at home. And then Buffalo is 5.5-point favorites over Tetsons as the road team. Week 11. I don't know if those primetime games were not really close. I mean, like, Patriots winning by pretty much 2 touchdowns. Eagles-Lions on Sunday night was, like, a real defensive battle, not much offense. I mean, as the score, I mean, it's only a touchdown win for the Eagles, but, like, the score is doesn't really tell, like, how the game was. It's, like, it's a little closer than you would think, but not really. And then, yeah, 33-16 for the win for the Cowboys. Afternoon, even, like, there is, like, Rams, Seahawks was supposed to be pretty good. I mean, Rams won by 2. Seahawks, you know, came back, made it a little close, but, again, not really as close as you would think. 49ers blow out the Cardinals. Cardinals are not really that good, and I think Kyler Murray's on the IR. I don't know if he was placed before this past week's game or week 10, so he'll be out for at least, you know, 2 weeks, maybe 3. And then Bills took care of the Buccaneers. I didn't get up to watch Commanders Dolphins. I think I was up at, like, I thought I did wake up initially, like, maybe 10-ish. And it was, like, I don't think it was halftime, but it was close to halftime or, like, halfway through the first or the second quarter type of thing. So, and, like, that's our last international game, so it's, like, we had Chargers, Chiefs, and Brazil against Sao Paulo. We had, like, the 3 London games, then we had Munich and then Madrid. Well, it's 16. Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's what they've done. I think next year there's a game in Australia, I believe. I mean, they always do London games. I don't know if they'll be back in Brazil or Madrid. Germany, maybe. I don't know if they announced those until, like, probably when the season, like, schedule kind of gets, you know, released. Because I think teams know who they're playing, but they don't know, like, you know, what's going to be, like, the Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night football games until, like, yeah, that schedule's announced and all that. So, you know, a real, I mean, that's kind of, like, later down and, you know, we're not there in the season yet. We're still, like I said, we're not even 2/3 of the season completed. Because then, like, yeah, playoffs will be in about 2 months, you know. Because we've already had, like, you know, the trade deadline. We've had, you know, halfway through the season point. So we're in that final stretch. I mean, and now, since we play 17 games, you know, teams like, you know, like the Ravens, Chiefs, and Tetsons that are all 5-5, you know, they still have 7 games to go. So, I mean, it's kind of like it helps and then also makes it hard. So you have one more game, but then that makes, like, you know, every game count even more. So, you know, you're not, like, halfway through the season, you're at this point. But, so, you know, because then, you know, we're like that. And then, you know, you have teams that are, like, completely out of it, so they're kind of focused on probably watching, you know, a lot of games on Saturday with their, like, you know, scouting, you know, personnel and all that for next year's draft, and then maybe even year after that, because, I mean, there's, like, you know, speculation, like, Arch Manning, if he'll declare for the draft or come back. It kind of depends. You know, see how it goes. But yeah. Also, I mean, we should have a... These games should hopefully be a little bit more competitive. Except for, like, you know, Patriots-Bengals, that's not going to be great. Tonight's probably not going to be a close game, I would expect. Seahawks, Titans, no. Lions, Giants, probably not. So the Giants did hang around with the Packers for a while, and they were starting Jameis Winston. They didn't even start. I mean, Jackson Dart was out for with a concussion, and then they went with Jameis Winston over Russell Wilson. I mean, Browns, Raiders, I mean, yeah, like I said, they're both 2-8. So that's going to be interesting. They went to, like, try to, like, maybe flex any of those games into, like, noon and then move one of those up to a later time. So you have, like, Jaguars and then Cardinals. I mean, Cardinals are 3-7. Jaguars are 6-4. So, like, you know. And then Saints, yeah. I mean, the only afternoon game really kind of paid attention to is, like, Eagles-Cowboys. Because, I mean, Eagles are trying to get that number one seed in the conference. And Cowboys, I mean, they're not totally out of it. Like, they are within, like, two and a half games of, out of that final wild card spot. So they need to, like, win and then get some help from other teams. But, I mean, if they lose to Philly and then lose next week, it's probably done. So, yeah. I don't know if there's anything really... that I can really see that's, like, nothing really new. Shedeur Sanders starting for the Browns. He came in, was it fourth quarter against the Ravens this past week, I think? Because I think Dylan Gabriel got a concussion. And, I mean, they traded Joe Flacco. So, like, Sanders was, like, their third string quarterback. So, you know, I mean, like, he's a rookie like Gabriel, though he was a... Gabriel was a third-round pick. Shedeur was a fifth-round pick. So, they're kind of seeing how it goes. I mean, if Cleveland gets a top-five pick, they might be like, hey, we might... One of these might... quarterbacks in next year's draft might give us a little bit of a better option. You know, to, like, move our franchise forward. And they do have another first-round pick that they got from the Jaguars trading with them to trade up to get Travis Hunter at number two, who, I don't know if we talked about last week, but he's out for the year. So, you know, he has the chance to kind of prove himself going forward for, the you know, at least this week. You know, depending on how Gabriel, you know, progresses through, you know, medical testing and all that to play next week. And, you know, yeah, we'll catch, I mean, we'll recap. It'll be, I mean, we won't be doing a show next week with Thanksgiving. So it'll be in 2 weeks. Let's see, that would be December 4th. So, well, yeah, be another 2 weeks of games. Because we have the three games next week on Thursday for Thanksgiving. Always the Lions. Always the Cowboys. Packers play the Lions. That's at 12 o'clock on Fox. Chiefs at the Cowboys at 3:30 on CBS. /Paramount+, and then Bengals Ravens at 7:20 on NBC/Peacock. And then we're also having a Black Friday game, which I think this is the third year So that's Bears Eagles at 2 o'clock on Prime. Then we have Broncos Commanders on Sunday Night Football. Giants Patriots on Monday Night Football. I'm surprised that's not gonna get flexed out or didn't. Week 13, let's see. Rams Panthers. The Panthers, you know, push for a playoff spot. Colts Texans. That's a division game too. So that'll be depending on, like, if, you know, Texans lose tonight to the Bills. I mean, that'll have more effect if the Texans win lose. Then they'd be 5-6. I mean, if the Colts lose to the Chiefs, 8-3, you know, still looking pretty good playoff picture wise. But yeah. So we'll, you know, talk about that, you know, in 2 weeks when we get there. So finishing off with college football, I want to look at the. Okay, we do have the playoff rankings. Ooh, and it also lists the conference. How about that? Well, that's the top 25. I'm not going to pay attention to that. Because we only have... Well, maybe the top 15. Because we only get 12 teams in. So I don't think any of them... The top 3 didn't change. With Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M. Texas A&M needed, like... a major comeback. Like, what was it? Were they down 30? Was it like 30-3 or 30-10? They were down a lot, and I think it was their biggest, largest comeback in school history. To remain undefeated at 10-0. Ohio State's also 10-0, and then Indiana is 11-0. So that's our top three. We'll just round out the top 10. So we have Georgia, Texas Tech, Ole Miss, Oregon, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and Alabama. And then BYU and Utah are in those last two playoff spots with Miami, Vanderbilt, and USC in those 13 through 15 as, you know, they try and get in. I mean, Ohio State, Indiana, all those, they should be locked for playoffs, because I mean they're all undefeated. So if the loss is like a conference championship game, then you know they're probably good to go. Let's see, because usually I mean now with a 12 team playoff, like even two losses is not exactly kill your, you know, chances. You know, if you're 2 and you can make it to the conference championship game and win, that'll help. And it can be like the top 4 can be anything regardless. And last year it was like top 4 teams that got like the first round bye were all conference championships, like the 4 highest ranking conference championships and then champions. And then the 5th seed was the last one, the last of the conference champions. So now it's changed where regardless, so like for Ohio State's like the conference champion for the Big Ten, the number 1 seed, Indiana to be number 2 seeded with, like, you know, a record of like with 1 loss type of thing. So I don't think we have as many ranked games as we did last week. We have Missouri-Oklahoma at 11 a.m. on ABC. Missouri is ranked 22 in the nation with a record of 7-3, and then Oklahoma's 8th in the country with a record of 8-2. So if Missouri probably needs that to even have a shot to get in or make a case. We have, and then 2:30 on CBS is number 15 USC at number 7 Oregon. Again, with USC, kind of a must win for them for their playoff pitcher hopes. Oregon too, like if they lose, I mean they probably close to flipping, you know, rankings, USC would probably be in the top 10 or at least close. And then Oregon would definitely drop into like the teens. And then that's the only ranked games for the rest of Saturday. And then there's other ranked teams, but like, I mean, like Utah's, I mean, they're ranked 12, so they're like on that cusp. BYU's in there. Georgia Tech at 16th ranked in the country. Texas at number 17, Texas hosting Arkansas. So we have, you know, some playoff implications. And then this is our, you know, second to last week of college football, because then next week, Thanksgiving weekend, is week 14. And that's always like rivalry week. So, I mean, we have a bunch of games on like Friday. This is their rankings, you know, now, not after these upcoming games in this week. Weekend, we have number 4, Georgia, at number 16, Georgia Tech, at 2:30 on ABC. Number 3, Texas A&M, against number 17, Texas, 6:30 on ABC. And then Saturday, we have number 1, Ohio State, versus number 18, Michigan, 14, Vanderbilt, and number 20, Tennessee. And that's the rest of the ranked. All the others are rivalry games, but not the most competitive, you know, matchup, with one being like ranked and the other having not the best record. So it doesn't, you know, exactly make it the most interesting. And then the following weekend, or following Friday and Saturday, is conference championship weekend. So Friday, we have the Mountain West, Conference USA, Sun Belt, and American Athletic. And then Saturday is the big one, because that's all kind of the major top 5 conferences. Is it 5? Yeah, there's 5. So like Big 12 championship at 11 a.m. on ABC, the MAC at 11 on ESPN, SEC at 3 on ABC, and then the ACC championship at 7 on ABC, and then the Big 10 championship 7 p.m. on Fox. Standings. Well, this is all conferences. Let's just look at the Big Ten. I know that. Indiana's 8-0. They played 11 games, whereas Ohio State's played 10. Then does Indiana play next week? Maybe not. I guess not. Because you only play 12 games in a college football season, so maybe they don't have a... No, they might. They must not. It's Indiana. I mean, it would be Purdue. They did. Because they're also they're an Indiana school. But they must not. Interesting. But yeah, that wraps up this week. Like I said, we will not have a show next week because of Thanksgiving. But we'll be back in 2 weeks with NFL. We'll probably squeeze in some basketball, because then college will be about a month in. NBA will be over a month. Might be close to like the NBA Cup playoffs, semifinals, around that point. And then we'll have college football championship games to, you know, preview, with NFL. We'll have 2 weeks of NFL, 2 weeks of college football. I mean, that being the wrap-up of college football and stuff. So, yeah. We'll be back in 2 weeks on December 4th for another episode. So, thank you for listening, and have a happy Thanksgiving.